Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
How do you turn around a business unit that's been losing money for 5 years, has a poor record on customer quality defects, and on-time delivery in the 50% range? Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and this week on the show, my guest is Steve Pulaski, a manufacturing executive who recently successfully completed the 4-year transformation of a business unit in Thailand. He's here to share his strategies, lessons learned, and insights from that experience. Steve, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Janet. It's my honor to be on the show.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
Sure. So, well, it goes a long ways back. I grew up in the Boston area. I received my degree in engineering from the University of Massachusetts. I spent about the first 15 years of my career working for 3 different aerospace companies in the Massachusetts area. Worked my way quickly up into senior level management, and seems like I was always presented with a lot of opportunities to take over poorly performing organizations. And in doing so, I quickly got the reputation for being a problem solver for pretty much most operational issues. With that, I took an overseas assignment from Raytheon in 1996 and became the chief operating officer for one of their joint ventures in Korea. It was a telecommunications startup that we did. And that was my first entry into Asia. I quickly realized there were a lot of differences in management style as well as cultures, and pretty quickly adapted to those situations. And over the next few years, I spent a variety of I spent time working in a variety of international operational issues for Raytheon, and traveled throughout Asia. I spent from 2000 to 2014 doing different types of jobs out of Thailand, and worked for different multinational companies as well as startups and things like this. So that led me into my role with Zodiac in the 2014 timeframe, which I took over as general manager for Zodiac Manufacturing Asia.
So that was a 4-year period where you actually successfully turned around this business unit that had been losing money for 5 years. Now, this is a big undertaking. Wasn't your first time in Asia at all. You've been there a while. Tell me about this challenge and how you approached it to actually achieve that sustained profitability, improve that customer quality, and the on-time delivery as well.
Sure. So I started this assignment in 2014, and it was quite a mess. I took over on-time delivery was in the 50% range. Quality rejects were in the greater than 10,000 DPPM range, and it was losing about 20% bottom line with EBITDA for financials. So it was quite a mess. But my focus, and I had been through this multiple times before, my focus was always on 2 key areas. One is people development and team building, and the second is problem solving. So in this particular situation, I would say 90% of the employees were Thai employees, but I also had multinational people from different countries. So the first thing I did was I sat with one-on-one meetings with most of the staff types of people, whether it was engineers or production management or general management. And I started to work to gain rapport with them and give them hope. Not that they had had a lot of hope, because they had been through this for about 5 years. I also worked the bottoms-up approach, which was with the hourly workers, developing rapport with them. And my approach in pretty much every situation is what I call a sandwich approach, and that is working top-down but also bottoms-up at the same time simultaneously. In addition, the customers were very unhappy because they had had a lot of promises. So I started to give them hope and real-time information, set up some key KPIs with them, and just pretty much gave them a transparent window into what was going on so they understood what problems we were being faced with. The last thing I did was I really put a high level of focus on problem solving. I have a Lean Six Sigma background, QRQC, and I took some of these tools, and then I created customized training tools that were not only for the top level but also for the operator level. And what it allowed us to do is basically teach everybody just simple problem solving and really to understand that problems existed, because I think things have been going on for so long that people didn't recognize that they were actually problems. The other side of it was the use of systems. The business unit, when I first took it over, it was very people dependent. It was manual. People were making decisions daily. And so I'm a very strong proponent of implementation of systems. So we quickly started managing the implementation of MRP 1 and 2, which were non-existent at the time, use of ITIS systems, business systems. And I believe that if people are supported and taught to solve problems, then everything else happens. So we started to turn the organization around, and my focus always was to continue to invest in people, solve problems, and add systems.
So when did you actually start seeing positive results?
Well, it took about 12 to 14 months of, continuous work. And we finally started to see, after about 12 to 14 months, breaking even to slight positive. And after about 18 months, I saw sustained profitability. All the KPI trends started to align. The leading indicators were really the quality and scrap areas in the production. And once those started to become positive, those led the on-time delivery, and all that was followed by the financial performance improving.
So you say 12 to 14 months. So if a business unit has been losing money for 5 years, you come in to turn things around. Another year has gone by. Now you're approaching 14 months. I know you said you're working with people and training it, and you had systems. Was there ever a sense with the people that, oh, this thing is not going to change? And then all of a sudden there was this blip and things did change. Like, how did you plow through that first 12 months and say, don't worry, we're getting there. We're getting there.
That was quite painful. Yeah. You know, I still remember to this day, one of the first meetings I walked into, there was a whiteboard in the area, and on the top of the whiteboard, there was this, somebody had written, "We want our life back." And when I saw that, I was like, I was like, wow, this is pretty serious. And these guys have been working hard. I mean, very, very long hours, very, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for a long time. And certainly there was morale issues. So the only thing I can do is, I went in and I said, okay, guys, you have to give me a chance. I know you don't know me. I was new in the company at the same time. So the first thing I've done, I do, is I just start developing rapport with people. I get people to feel comfortable working with me, to understand that I'm there to help and support. And I think it's just development of rapport with the people, investing in the people. I asked a lot of questions. I asked people where they wanted to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And they really hadn't heard these questions. All they heard was get the parts out the door tomorrow. And so when I started investing in people, asking questions, I think there was a sense that I actually cared. And then people started to respond. And then what we did was we rewarded ourselves. Every time there was a small accomplishment, we rewarded ourselves. We'd have a little party. We'd have a dinner after work, various things like this. And I think quick feedback and rewarding people is very important in a situation like this.
So you're trying to get to know these people. They've had a bad time. Like you said, it's been years and they've been working 7 days a week and whatever. How long did it take for people to actually warm up to you and go, this guy might really be sincere and maybe there is a chance here?
Well, I think there was different groups of people. Okay. There were some groups that were certainly totally against me. I know that. Especially now afterwards, there were some groups that, there was cliques. Okay. So I would say there was maybe three different types of groups. Some of the groups, I was able to warm up with and get them to believe in what we were going to do within just, the first month or so. Some groups, the second type of group probably took more like 6 months, where they were more, I wouldn't say negative, but very, slow to respond. And then the last groups were the most rigid, I would think, and they took upwards of almost the 12 months to actually start responding and realizing that what we were doing was good and that they should get on board very quickly and go in the same direction. Even during that time, Janet, I'd had to make some changes. I found certain people were not performing and were negative, and this is one area that I don't really tolerate too well is negative attitudes. So I took care of those quite quickly, and we moved some people out of the organization and even out of the company within the first year. So I think once everybody saw that I was sincere, I started developing the rapport. All the groups eventually followed, or they didn't stay with the company.
Yeah. So what impact has this change within this company had on the people that actually work for the company?
Well, it's been huge. Okay. They have all told me, and you can go to my LinkedIn account and see the actual feedback from the people, but they all told me they've never had a leader like myself, where I genuinely cared for people. This went deeper than just business. This went very deep into personal relationships with them eventually. I helped people because I care about people, and I believe that a person needs to be taken care of, not just from a business standpoint, but personally also. And so one of the areas that I've been quite successful in is personal coaching with people. So I worked on life balance with people, and the life balance was not just business, but how I helped them with their financial things. I helped them with their relationships, any problems, because I feel that if a person is happy in all areas of their life, they're going to be the best employee. So I really heavily invest in this. And to be honest, I left the company in December, and I've never seen this before in my life where I would say almost every man and woman in the organization had tears in their eyes when I left, and including myself. It was quite emotional, but it was time for me to move on, and the team was working together harmoniously, and I was very happy about it.
That is a totally different role than what most people would say a CEO's role is. Like, I talked to Kevin Snook, the author of Make It Right, the book, a lot, and that's his thing. He loves to get the people and help them be personally and in business successful. And your approach sounds like it's the same, and it absolutely does make a business difference to people.
Yeah, absolutely, Janet. I did have the pleasure of having lunch with Kevin last month, and he's a great guy, and his approach and my approach are very, very similar. I'm a people person, so I believe that companies are people, and people make things happen, and you need to treat people as people. So I ask a lot of questions because I want people to understand that I am genuinely interested in them. I want to understand their goals. I want to make sure that their goals are aligned with the vision of the company. And what I actually do is I give people opportunities where if a person is in supply chain and they're like, well, I really would like to get into manufacturing. I'm like, you know what? Absolutely. We'll figure out a way to do that. And usually within a year, I can make a major change in a person to move them in a totally different organization. And this gives them the ability to diversify their responsibilities and their experience. The other thing is I tend to use a balance of humor and fun, but I'm also serious when required. But I think that having humor and to lighten up a little bit, even if things are difficult, it's very important. And I also think it's one of the areas I invest a lot in is working on conflict avoidance and conflict management. I teach this, and I want to have a harmonious personality in the organization where everybody wants to work together. And I believe that organizationally, most problems are psychology problems within the organization. So I spent a lot of time coaching, digging, understanding why there is issues between people, organizations, and whatever, and just kind of working with these guys, doing outside training even. I have an NLP coach we use from outside to break down and understand really what's going on in their head and to help teach them that, you know, we're here to focus on issues and not people. And always I teach people, separate the issue from the problem. And when you do that, it's not a personal thing anymore. It's a problem. And we focus on problems and we solve problems together. We don't focus on people. So that's
Your approach clearly does work because you've been successful turning companies around for a while now. And so you spend 4 years in Thailand turning around this business unit. You're still in Asia. You've been there for a few decades. And you're taking that experience now and insight to your current role, which is Asia Solutions. Now, the tagline for this company is your gateway to business in Asia. Tell me a little bit about this company.
Sure. You know, first of all, I love Asia. I think Asia's a great place, and I love Thailand, and I love the people in Thailand, and I've decided to make this my home. I've been here for a long time. You know, Asia Solutions is the gateway to Asia, as you said, is to help more or less companies in the U.S., Europe, Australia, places like this to easily do business in Asia. And in the past, I've been both on the customer and the supplier side, and I found that a lot of the big savings in doing business in Asia was with small to medium suppliers, but there tended to be culture and language barriers, as well as, I'll say, technical competence in getting that done. And what they need is the day-to-day oversight to get really the full benefits of this. So the goal and what I do is I focus on finding small and medium-sized businesses outside of Asia that want to do business in Asia. And then because I've been here for so long, I also have a large portfolio of small to medium-sized suppliers. And then what we do at Asia Solutions is become the conduit to facilitate cost, quality, and delivery success. Because what I've seen is a lot of startup problems with companies wanting to do business here. The other thing is that I have a pretty broad experience covering not just aerospace, but also automotive, medical, telecommunications. And what we do at Asia Solutions is to focus on many different aspects of business, including mechanical fabrication, different types of parts. We can do complete EMS types of work, as well as full turnkey, where a supplier in the U.S. or Europe would have quite a difficult time doing that. In addition to managed outsourcing and manufacturing consulting, I also have a really keen interest in corporate and individual coaching. And even recently, I've become part of the leadership team for one of the top success coaches in Asia, Michael Bulldog. And I've joined his team recently because I'm taking this and coupling it with the manufacturing success, because I believe that, again, management of psychology of cultures, of organizations, is the key to success. And this gives us the complete package at Asia Solutions.
Yeah, so you're taking companies who probably, you know, they look at Asia and they go, this is probably a great opportunity for us, but they have fears because of the culture and the language and things like that. And if they do try to go into Asia on their own, they're going to make these common mistakes and it's going to turn out not so great. So you actually bring all of that together and help that business succeed, which sounds like a fantastic business model for you.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what we do. And, you know, one of the things is just to comment a little bit further on this, a lot of the real savings in Asia are going to be with the small to medium-sized suppliers. And these are the ones that are, number one, hard to find, but also may not have the best English skills, may need some additional oversight technically when you start up production. And this is where we come in, because we've been here for a long time. We understand the people, the cultures, the locations, and we understand the startup problems, because I've personally been involved with the transition of probably thousands of different SKU numbers moving from offshore to Asia. And we've gone through and we've seen all the different types of problems. So yeah, it's a perfect match to help the small and medium. The large companies can come here to a very large company who has the infrastructure. And usually a lot of the larger companies also have in-country presence, which is a benefit. But the small companies that want to save the money don't want to spend that extra money to have insight in-country presence. And this is where we can help.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter what size the company, provided that they have someone with the skill set to make those connections, they can be successful in Asia.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the other thing that a lot of times the people that make the decisions to outsource are usually in the purchasing organizations, and what they tend to look at and what they tend to actually get measured on by their management is purely just purchase price variance or the actual purchase order cost savings, and not really the total cost of doing business. So when you go offshore, there's a lot of hidden costs associated with that. So you place a purchase order, but you forget about the fact that, you know, you need to send engineers or this and that to Asia. And when you start adding up all these additional costs, phone calls, conference calls, there's a lot of hidden costs. And these are the important things that companies need to understand. And this is where we can really help in Asia Solutions.
Great. Steve, I really appreciate your insights and your time today. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat with me, and really good luck with Asia Solutions.
Well, thank you very much, Janet. And it's a pleasure to talk to you and also to know Kevin.
I'm Janet Eastman, and that is our show for this week. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your colleagues. And until next time, keep making it right.